Steady in the boat. Steady in the boat.
I'm absurd.
Stop piggybacking on what you said!
Good students and damn fine journalists. That's what we are here at Alligator Sports.
Hello and welcome to the Alligator Sports Podcast. This is the show for Wednesday, July 28th. I'm your host, Tom Green, and joining me today is Alligator Sports editor, Anthony Chang.
Hey guys, I'm in a very argumentative mood today, so this would be interesting.
That sounds familiar. And Alligator photo editor, Harrison Diamond.
Pimping like an agent on the Alabama campus.
Right then. I guess that's a good way to segue into our first discussion today on Southeastern Conference Media Days and the big hot topic that was, or still is, rather.
That still is.
Still is, yeah. Chang, you were out there in Hoover for Media Days, or Birmingham, whichever one.
Hoover.
Same thing.
Yeah, same thing.
Tell us a little bit about your experiences out there.
It was interesting. I got to the hotel the first day of Media Days, and as soon as I got there, Alabama was the first team up. So the hotel, which is basically like an hour away from Tuscaloosa, was full of Alabama fans in the lobby.
Many houndstooth fedoras?
There were a couple. I saw a couple. A ton of Alabama fans asking for autographs from the players, you know, Nick Saban. Little babies, they were like, sign my baby shirt. It was a little overwhelming to start off.
Babies could say that?
No, the parents are saying that, maybe. After that, Alabama was up first. Obviously, Nick Saban had a very infamous comparison where he compared
agents to pimps,
as Harrison said. And he felt very strongly on the agent issue, which we'll get into in a little bit. I wasn't expecting Nick Saban to be so adamant on something. Like, he seems like a very dull, monotone guy, but he was very emotional. He showed a lot of feelings toward the issue. So,
and an angry little man.
Meyer wasn't as much, but he basically had the same stance as Saban, where he said that the agent issue is out of hand.
Well, clearly we can take one thing out of this. Because Nick Saban is so passionately against this, we can only assume that it's a matter of time before he leaves Alabama to become an agent.
Correct. And I did, okay, first let's talk about the Florida issue, where, as everyone knows by now, about a little more over a week ago, ESPN reported that former Gator center Marquise Pouncey accepted $100,000 from a representative of an agent in between the team's loss to Alabama in the SEC championship and their win against Cincinnati in the Sugar Bowl. Let's get into, what do you think about these allegations, Harrison?
Well, more and more stuff's been coming out that's been leading people to think that this might have been a trumped up allegation from a spurned agent / financial advisor who did not get the opportunity to represent Marquise and obviously did not get the windfall that accompanies a high draft pick. But I mean, it's definitely not out of the realm of possibility. It's kind of well known amongst at least the people who care about little details of sports that Marquise and Mike Pouncey's stepfather had some sort of work accident, I think, right, in the 08 season,
yeah,
and he lost
his leg. Yeah,
he lost his leg, and since then he's been unable to work, so their family has obviously had to deal with the loss of that income. So it wouldn't surprise me if, say, they were in a particularly bad spot.
But wouldn't it be surprising, kind of, if, you know, he was one game away from finishing his career at UF, basically 5-6 months away from being basically guaranteed millions of dollars? Why would he put the program in jeopardy when he's 5-6 months away from? I mean, I understand that, you know, we'd like to think players aren't selfish,
it's
but
it's entirely possible that he just had checked out by that point.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you have to look at what he did for the Sugar Bowl. He had kidney stones the night before that. He was in the hospital and he
still played.
Still played most of that game and did a really fine job against the Cincinnati defense, if you ask me.
Cincinnati plays defense?
Sometimes.
They did in that game.
So he was obviously able to hold his own against the conference champions of the Big East. And, you know, he worked hard, and he has always been a great representative for the program. His brother's still involved in the program, obviously. He has great love for the coaches, for the players. always considered a team leader, so I don't know why he would do that. I can't discount the possibility.
Yeah, I'm with Harrison. It's entirely possible that did happen. But, I mean, they've known about the allegations since June, early June.
Yeah, I talked to a UPD captain here at UF, and he confirmed that they began the investigation on June 9th. So it's been like a month and a half.
Yeah. So, like, they've had quite some time to look into it. Marquise was pretty adamant about denying it. So was his brother. Meyer did too, but we all know how they love to lie to the media.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't rule it out, but it's America. He's innocent until proven guilty.
You'd really hate Correct. For it to be true because, again, he's been such a good ambassador for the program. He really has not gotten into trouble in all this time.
Which you can't say about a lot of football players.
He really has been a model citizen, and yeah, he won the Remington Award. He was looked to provide an influx of youth and talent to the Steelers' offensive line this year without causing off the field headaches like Ben Roethlisberger.
Mm-hmm.
But
But like it's like you guys said, it's not out of this world because as we've seen, it's not an isolated incident with the incident in Alabama. Incident in North Carolina, South Carolina, USC. USC a couple, last 2 years.
Crazy. And I should say one thing. A Pittsburgh radio station interviewed an agent about the whole college football agent meddling thing. And when he broached the subject of Nick Saban's comments, the agent said that Saban had better basically not say stuff like that, because if Saban's comparing him to that, then he has plenty of dirt on Saban that he could say. But, he's doing the same sort of things with recruits.
Yeah, I find that interesting. Like, Saban was, he did this more, but Saban and Meyer both, basically all coaches really are going to do this. They kind of distance themselves away from the agent thing. They say they have no control over it, really. There's nothing they can do because these runners that they call them runners, the people that are close to the athletes, that the athletes have trust in the athlete's circle of trust, they say. They're the ones giving the money to the players, if this is true. So, and they can't be monitoring these players 24/7. So what does the NCAA do? Can they do anything?
Start paying the players.
Yeah. But even that, it's not going to be much money.
I feel like the NCAA is basically helpless in this instance. I think the NFL can do more to fix this problem than the NCAA.
And the only two reasons the NFL has to do this are, one, to keep their essentially a farm system that they get for free intact, and two, Frank Beamer at Virginia Tech has already for some time banned NFL scouts from campus or something along those lines. That's making it harder for them to actually scout the players during the season.
Which Saban said it, he would might do that, so.
Yeah, so yeah, we might see that happening more and more. And so if they can get the NFL to sort of protect them a little bit, they might back off from that threat and make it easier for the NFL team to scout players, but they're going to have to really come down hard on these agents who are being unscrupulous.
And some of the things the NFL could do, let's get into that, is they could, if it's found that these agents were corrupt and affected the eligibility of a college athlete, they could suspend the agent's license for a year, as Nick Saban mentioned. They could suspend the players, like, for example, Marquise Pouncey. Let's say this is proven to be true. Florida will get punished. The program will be punished, but he probably won't because he's already in the NFL. He already is away from the program. So I feel like, if the NFL would get involved and maybe punish these players in as far as NFL games, maybe sitting them out of NFL games, suspending them for a couple of games in the NFL, it might deter them a little bit from doing this. What do you think?
I mean, I think it has to start with hitting the agents where it counts, in the pockets, and you can only do that by preventing them from representing people or fining them. So I think that if you ban them from representing players for a year, 2 years, 3 years, that's going to be more than enough to deter them.
But it doesn't stop the runners from being on campus. That's the thing. It's like a very complicated thing.
The problem with the runners is that, say, each athlete has 5 close friends, one of whom is a runner. You've got 100 people on the football team.
Mm-hmm.
Think how many people that is to monitor and try and figure out, is this person a runner for an agent?
So are we saying that this is impossible to solve?
It's going to be very difficult to
solve. Pay the athletes.
So but explain that. How would that help?
It's obviously easier said than done.
The NCAA is not going to give $100,000 in a lump sum payment to the athletes. I'm sorry.
It certainly makes enough to do that.
Here's the issue with paying the athletes. Because of Title IX, you'd have to give the same amount of money to the men's teams as the women's teams. But let's be honest. There's certain sports that bring in more money to the schools than the other ones.
That's the thing
like
I don't understand. If
and basketball.
If it's not a, if the sport's not making money, I don't understand why. I understand equal opportunities and all that. But if the sport's not making money, I don't think you should really have to pay the players.
Well, I think you should still pay them. Just pay them a different amount.
Like, you shouldn't have to pay them the same.
Yeah, exactly.
But you understand the issue with that, though, right? Like that would be
women's basketball's not bringing in that much money in TV revenue. That's for sure.
But you know what a firestorm that would cause.
Sure they lost
right?
money by,
like if they did that.
NIT game.
So it makes like even though we all can probably agree that football players should get paid the most out of any athlete, at least on this campus, because they make the most money for the school, for the athletic association, for the like, department, I guess. That won't happen just because you. You can't single out one sport to another, you know, as far as that.
Well, it should happen. I mean,
it should, but I don't think it's this.
Like, here's my issue with the NCAA not paying athletes. Like, this is like a job for the kids. Like, yeah, they're on scholarship. I fully agree that they do.
Worse than a job because they have to actually keep their grades up in order to be eligible.
Yeah. Like, I get the argument that, oh, they're on scholarship, they're getting paid through scholarship. I'm not taking. Granted the worth of a scholarship to go to a school, especially something like that, like for out-of-state kids.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure all of us are on scholarship here too, right? Bright Futures,
yeah,
prepaid, all that stuff.
Yeah,
it takes care of our classes. It helps us pay for our books. It helps us pay for groceries and other needs, right?
Yeah, but let me say one thing. I don't want to generalize, but most of these athletes. Would they be going to an institution like, let's say football, for example, an institution like the University of Florida if it wasn't for football?
Less than half of them.
So they do get something out of it. Like they wouldn't be, maybe some of them wouldn't even be in school. Maybe some would be in a smaller college or smaller university. But a lot of them wouldn't be in a good institution like UF, you know? So I think they do get something out of it at least.
Of course they get something out of it. I'm just saying that. By playing football, that takes up a lot of their extra time outside of class. Most of their extra time. They don't have time for other jobs to earn money like we do. Like, mm-hmm. We all work here.
I don't think they can. Can they work? Can they make money on another job? Like,
They can work jobs. It's just a matter of making sure they're not making more than someone else.
Okay.
Who's not an athlete.
But yeah, we work outside of our schedule to make money to supplement our living here. Why shouldn't the athletes get the same?
I mean, I see your argument, and it's valid, obviously, and a lot of people believe that. But where do you draw the line? Like, should they get paid in high school, too? Should they get paid in Little League because they're really good? Or, you know, like, where do you draw the line? You know what I mean?
They're still living at home.
Yeah, but I don't know. Like, it's just...
Their parents should give them bigger allowance if they're a good football player.
Yeah. It's just, I think it would make things very, very complicated, like we said. Like, you'd have to pay the other sports. There'd be money involved in college athletics, which we all know there is, it's just...
College sports are shady as is.
Yeah, it's very shady.
Maybe it's shady because the NCAA prances it out there as amateurism when it's really not.
Yeah.
Like, because NCAA calls it amateur athletics, they're providing an environment that encourages lying like that.
Mm-hmm.
By them lying to everybody saying it's amateur, it's causing people to go behind other people's backs and, you know, give the players some money, you know, be shady about it.
Yeah.
Maybe it's time for the NCAA to revisit their eligibility requirements. That may be the only solution to this that they can actually come up with.
I think the NCAA rules are very outdated. And I think that's a big reason why all this is happening.
You see some players that are, like, say, a player like Riley Cooper, who... signs a baseball contract before a football season.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them, they'll go off scholarship in order to be able to maintain their eligibility. You may start to see that happen. Maybe a player could say, okay, I'm going pro after this year. Maybe sign with an agent then, get a limited stipend for their, you know, like an advance for their eventual signing with that agent, and then they're locked into going before the season. Something crazy like that may end up happening. That way you eliminate them having to actually meddle with agents because they'll be signed with someone ahead of time. And they're going to have to go, so there's no more speculation as to whether or not they're coming back.
Someone suggested this to me. I wanted to get your guys' thoughts on it. That the school, like, let's say Pouncey's case is proven to be true, should the school be able to sue Pouncey for this from Marquise?
Should they?
Actions?
Yes, because it would cause them to have to vacate the Sugar Bowl win. And I mean, that's the good thing for UF. They self-reported this as soon as they were able to get all the facts together, which is extremely important in NCAA's eyes. Back, 10, 11 years ago when they had the Tank Black incident here. That Tank Black was an agent who had meddlings with UF players who were going to be drafted.
Represented a lot of.
In the early 90s.
Yeah, the thing actually came out around, 98 when they exposed the whole thing. UF self-reported because they found out and they got only minor penalties even though they spent much of the 80s and 90s or very early 90s under NCAA probation, which prevented them from winning a couple of SEC championships, actually. The self-reporting thing means so much to the NCAA because, look, USC didn't self-report. They tried to conceal it. Boom, they get the hammer.
It does, but it's very dangerous for UF because, I mean, the NCAA is investigating, and they're going to investigate everything. So if they find that other players were involved or other illegal things, then it's dangerous for UF. I mean, you never know what they're going to uncover. So, I mean, I know nobody's really that worried about this because, you know, the worst that can happen is basically them vacating the Cincinnati win. But until the investigation's over.
One other thing that could happen, which could be a problem, but we'll get to that in a second. UF's compliance department is extremely good, extremely hardworking, and I'd like to think it's pretty big compared to some of the other ones like USC's. There's just no question that they've done a pretty thorough investigation. They tend to be on top of things here, just because Jeremy Foley's just a real stickler for that. Because he came into the athletic department, as a ticket salesman, he worked his way up, lived through all the problems that they had with multiple NCAA probations and investigations. He does not want that happening under his watch. He's run a clean program and wants to keep it that way. So he
do you really think that this football? I mean, I'm not saying that it's dirty, but do you really think this football program is like innocent of everything?
Innocent of everything.
I don't think. No, I really don't think
he does his best to keep it within NCAA rules.
Okay. Because I don't think any successful college football program
is going to be
some stuff
going on under the table. But they really try and keep their eyes on everything.
I can see that.
Now, the one thing that could happen here is if Marquise is found to have accepted benefits early, which he maintains, we must repeat, that he did not receive any benefits until after the Sugar Bowl.
Well, he said he didn't receive $100,000.
He could have received less, could have received more.
He'd
have to open that window of possibility.
He could have received $99,000.
That's true. He has provided bank statements, credit card statements, and so on to the investigators. Does not appear to have anything to hide.
What about offshore accounts?
Look, if he went through that much trouble, let him get away with it.
But smarter than we thought.
In the event that he did receive benefits, then we have to investigate his twin brother, Mike, who is still on campus. And if he is found to have received benefits and his brother so much as borrowed his car.
Which he has, but
he says it's a car purchased with money that he received
He didn't sign his contract, but he got a deferred line of credit to purchase it, which is fine because he knew he was going to get the money. So.
And it was even after the draft, he said.
Yeah, it was right after the draft.
So, we're talking April. Mm-hmm. But if he's found to have benefited and then did as much as loan him the car, buy him stuff, or as little as get him a sandwich with that money, Mike Pouncey could be ineligible for the season.
They asked him about that in SC Media Days. They asked Mike whether he was concerned about his eligibility. And he, obviously he was like, no, I've cooperated with everything. I've answered all their questions. He didn't seem concerned, but, I mean, what else is he going to say,
Cooperation's always a big thing. Last year, Mark Ingram was almost ineligible for the season. He and Julio Jones accepted a fishing trip from a booster. And there was a big investigation going on from May until the week before the start of the regular season against Virginia Tech. They were cleared right beforehand. All they had to do was, I believe, pay back the money. Mm-hmm. the trip cost, but because they came clean when they were asked about it, because apparently they didn't realize it was a booster or something like that. But, yeah. I call BS.
Yeah.
He shouldn't have won the Heisman because he was obviously supposed to be ineligible because it's Alabama. They skated. I'm sorry. I hate Mark Ingram. I hate Alabama. Hate.
All right.
Overrated in NCAA.
All right. But you made me lose my train of thought. Go ahead.
I forgot where I was going.
Do you think that the fact that all these SEC schools are popping up with this, do you think that's a coincidence? I mean, I know that they've been the best.
No, it's the best conference in the country. It has some of the best athletes in the country. A lot of the players who are going to be going very high in the draft are at UF, at Alabama, at South Carolina, and so on. Hey, Wesley Saunders is considered one of the top tight ends. He's one of the people implicated in this whole thing.
Mr. Irrelevant also went to South Carolina.
Yes. Not so irrelevant.
All right, so I guess to end, what do you guys think will...
Well, I think we do have to approach what this is going to do to other conferences, too.
Yeah.
Marvin Austin at UNC is, I think, almost certainly at this point going to be ruled ineligible for the season. Because not only was he just completely unashamed about this whole thing on Twitter, you know, sending pictures from Miami, you know, he twit-picked a picture of a sex toy or whatever, pictures of him with guns.
This is Austin you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
I saw some pictures he tweeted the day before the alleged South Beach party. He was in Washington, D.C., I believe, where he's from, and he twit-picked a picture of him.
Hidden, right?
No. This is he's at Cheesecake Factory, and he said, "I love Cheesecake Factory," and he posted a picture of a bill of $200, and like, I don't know, like, that's just very, considering the fact it was a day before the Asian thing and all that stuff.
And now everyone's coming out, you know, Marcel Darius is coming out, Wesley Saunders is coming out. Oh, yeah, Marvin Austin got us to come to this party.
AJ Green is apparently involved, too.
Yeah.
I mean, he's denied it, but...
He says he's never been to Miami.
Yeah, but...
I heard that the alleged party, wasn't it like Frank Gore's birthday party?
Well,
or
Frank
like
Gore had a party before this party at a club called Live, I think, in South Beach.
Yeah, the Fountain Blue.
Yeah, the Fountain Blue. He had a party. Frank Gore had a party at his house, which raised the question of Frank Gore's agent is Drew Rosenhaus. So like, it obviously brings him into question. Even though I don't think anybody's brought up his name, but still, you know, I believe he's the one that represents Frank Gore. So that's a little bit.
Everybody.
Yeah. Any athlete from Miami, Drew Rosenhaus represents basically.
So. It seems like there's like two agents in anything. There's Drew Rosenhaus and Joe Siegel. They represent everyone of consequence.
Which I have heard from...
and then the NBA, if there's
Leon. I have heard from multiple people that Joel Siegel is the one being investigated by the NCAA in the Pouncey issue. But it doesn't, like you said, it doesn't necessarily mean it's him. A lot of people believe that it was an agent who tried to lure him, you know, lure Pouncey to be his client, but failed. So it doesn't... I mean, take it for what it's worth.
So if UNC loses even Austin, it's a huge blow to their defense and their chances in an ACC title. There are other players that are being investigated, too. I've heard that some of them have been cleared, but I don't have any firm evidence on this. So I mean, they could lose a couple players for a couple extra games. And even if they just, you know, say they suspend one or two players for the first game, that happens to be the Chick-fil-A kickoff game against LSU. So they're going up against a talented program. They're missing a couple of key defensive players. I mean,
and their defense is supposed to be good this year, too.
Yeah. Their offense isn't.
And Darius, too, for Alabama, he's arguably their best defensive player. If he's out, there was reports that he was going to be ruled ineligible for this season. I don't think it hasn't come to fruition yet, but if that becomes the case, then that's a big hit to their team.
Yeah. I mean, they have very little coming back on defense, which is why I have such an issue with everyone anointing them preseason number one.
We already know your hate for Alabama.
No, okay, look, I actually do have a lot of respect for the program. I have a lot of respect for Saban as a coach, and especially as a recruiter.
I don't have respect for Saban as a human being, though.
Yeah, I mean...
That's for different reasons.
Everyone knows that Nick Saban is not actually a human being. He's, in fact, Satan. But, I mean, Florida lost less than that when they went to 2007, and we all saw what happened there. Nick Saban may be a defensive coach, but there's no way he can make up for the loss of 9 defensive starters who have had almost all of the game experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll be tough. I mean, I think Urban Meyer said it. said it best, where he said there was a lot of parity in SC this season, like a lot of more than usual. So I think it's going to be an interesting year in college football just because there isn't like a, you can't, you know, usually you can be like, oh, this team's going to be very dominant. There isn't that team this season, you know?
I mean, if you look just at the SEC, you've got Alabama and Florida are the two, you know, obvious contenders for the division races, but in the East you've got South Carolina. I don't really think Georgia's going to be a factor, so I think it's pretty much a two-horse race between Florida and South Carolina.
Especially when AJ Green gets ruled ineligible.
Yeah. I mean, they could always surprise at Georgia, but with the switch to the 3-4, I really don't feel their personnel fits properly just yet. It's going to take them a while to get used to that. So that's the East. The West, you've got Arkansas. They can even put a semblance of a defense together there.
Or an offense around Ryan Mallett.
just pretend. Then they're going to have just an unbelievable year because they can put up the points like no one else in the SEC right now. And then you look, you've got Auburn. They're going to have Cam Newton at quarterback. He's a real athletic talent. Look what they did last year with a horrible, horrible quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
They could do so much this year.
Speaking of Auburn, I read today that the Football Writers Association is considering renaming them as the 2004 national champions instead of USC
in the wake of
the sanctions and everything.
Good for them.
I don't like that. I
feel like they were robbed of the chance to play for that title.
Okay, I can agree with that, but I don't like anointing champions after the fact. I feel like, you know, that Detroit no-hitter thing happened earlier this year where Bud Selig said, perfect game, no-hitter. But Selig said, I'm not going to go back and change it to a no-hitter or perfect game just because, you know, I don't want to do that. It kind of changes things. It kind of opens Pandora's box to other instances. I don't think they should do that. I feel like that compares to this.
No one cheated in the perfect game.
I think that's like apples to oranges. The perfect game is like an individual accomplishment.
Yeah.
This is 100 kids that worked their tails off to go undefeated that year and were jobbed of a chance to play for a national title.
Why?
Because another team is later found to have played with a player that should have been ineligible.
Okay.
Maybe just go through and compare the NFL talent on those teams. One of them has
Ronnie Brown. And Cadillac Williams.
And
Jason Campbell.
All right, let's not get too off topic.
Hey, I mean, that's three starters right there. USC had, Len Whale, who is currently not with the team and facing a suspension. They've got Reggie Bush, who I'm sure that he's done something since breaking up with the Kardashian. But,
All right. Well, okay, to close this issue out, what do you guys think, each of you, what do you guys think will happen out of this Pouncey thing at UF? What do you think the result of it will be?
Every player at every school is going to be ruled ineligible. We're going to see walk-ons versus walk-ons at every school. It's going to be great.
Okay.
That's one extreme of the spectrum. I think if he's found guilty, obviously Mike's going to get investigated more. If maybe he gets ruled ineligible too. I really don't know at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to point out, if he does get ruled ineligible, who's going to start at center? My very first Gator guarantee was that Sam Roby would be moving into the center spot for at least one game.
Harrison was an runner for the agents. I figured it out.
He did it to get his
all game. Right, you found
it
me
was
out.
All an elaborate scheme to get Sam Roby to start at center.
I see how it is, Harrison. All right, I think that this is an issue that's been going on for a long time, not just over this past year. I think people fail to realize that this is something that's been going on. I mean, you mentioned it with Tank Black in the early 90s, mid-90s, with that incident. I feel like it's becoming more – the issue is becoming more known now just because of the Reggie Bush thing. But I think that if Pouncey obviously is found guilty, the team will have to vacate the win. And like Tom said, Mike will be investigated. But I do see the NFL getting more involved in this and maybe trying to stop this. I don't think that you can completely prevent it, but I think they would take some actions, like we mentioned earlier, to at least help alleviate the problem.
Yeah, I mean, Roger Goodell seems to be very focused on character and behavior amongst mm-hmm. the players. And if he feels that this is negatively impacting the way that the players are going to be when they come into the league, then he's going to do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
He should care about the character and integrity of the agents that represent those players, too. So he should take action. All right, and that about wraps up our talk for SEC Media Days and the whole agent issue.
Now let's move on to an annual event that took place this past weekend, Friday Night Lights. For those of you that don't know,
it happened on Friday.
Yeah. At night. Under lights.
All right, continue.
For those of you that don't know, even though I'm sure most of you do, it's an annual football camp that Florida's coaches hold. A lot of the top recruits in the state and some from across the nation show up for one night, do position drills, do one-on-ones, meet with coaches, work out in the weight room, stuff like that. Both Harrison and I were there watching.
Chang, what do you think?
I'm gonna defer to you guys. I don't wanna blow your minds away by all my knowledge.
Was in Miami when this happened, so.
Yeah.
What do you think of Friday Night Lights in general?
I mean, it's nice. It's cool that it's open to basically anyone who wants to go. And they try and keep that on the DL because they don't want all the like really really bad players showing up. So yeah. They have to waste their time.
I would have showed up.
Basically, you can tell who's gonna be a stud by the people that the coaches start hanging around after. Yeah. First hour or so.
Yeah, those are the people I started looking out for.
Yeah.
But, don't you think it's just like, it's obviously a giant recruiting ploy
for the school? Well, I mean, what do you expect? I mean, this is one of the biggest recruiting dates of the year. They usually try and get a couple commits out of it. They only got two this year. I was kind of thinking they were going to get maybe one or two more.
Well, they got two commits before it even started.
Yeah,
but
I mean, I think
nobody really committed.
Well, who were the commits?
Trip Thurman and four-star offensive lineman from Delaware, mm-hmm. and I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right, Lucius Purifoy.
Okay.
He's a speedy little cornerback.
And we do mean speedy. He runs a legit, I think it was electronically timed 4.3.
Wow. Something. That's Florida speed right there.
Yeah. He's only three-star, but he has already been recruited by Florida, Alabama, and Auburn. So he's legit.
Okay.
I'm actually also expecting a commit soon out of Nick Wason, another quarterback who was there.
He'll be committing sometime in August,
he said. He wants to do it on the first ESPNU recruiting show or something like that.
Yeah,
otherwise, ESPNU, I think he would commit in last.
He's pulling a LeBron, then? He wants to do it on ESPN?
Well, yeah, he's going to have an hour-long special on ESPNU called The Decision 2.
But okay. We'll get back to Wason in a few minutes. Let's talk about who impressed and who disappointed at the camp.
All right.
Obviously, I think the tight ends really stole the show.
I mean, they were unbelievable. Nick O'Leary from Dwyer and Fall Beach, he's from the same team that current freshman year's tight end Gerald Christian's from, safety Matty Lone, and so on.
So they got talent down there.
Yeah, he is Jack Nicklaus's grandson.
Yep.
So he's from great stock.
Is he a good golfer?
I don't know, but he is enormous, and I wouldn't want to take him on with a golf club, that's for sure, because I'm pretty sure he could break it with his bare hands.
Yeah, Meyer was working around him most of the night.
Yeah.
During position drills, like he was chatting him up, and then during one-on-one drills, he was standing in the end zone watching as O'Leary was running routes.
Is he coming to UF? Did he commit already?
He's not committed yet, okay. But UF is still in the mix, though. A lot of people think he could either end up at UM, FSU, or Georgia.
Okay.
But,
I mean, he's one of those players that when you see him now, you can tell if you don't get him, you're going to have a hell of a time dealing with him for the next 4 years.
Yeah, he was showing some good speed on the routes, crisp routes. He was getting good separation from what I saw. And he dropped a few balls late, but he was probably tired at that point. But he had some nice catches. One that really caught my eye was a little fade route, I guess it was. Not sure exactly. I didn't see the whole route, but I saw just over the left shoulder in the corner of the end zone.
He's in
coverage, of course.
He's a real threat. He was breaking tackles from some really nice guys, like some really quality.
Nice, nice guys. How do you know they were nice?
I mean, they were the good ones they had covering him. Yeah. I mean, the not so good players they had covering him just got flat out embarrassed on every single play.
But yeah, while Meyer was watching O'Leary run routes, because the way they had it set up was when they were doing one-on-ones, they had the quarterbacks in the middle, and then defenders and wide receivers to each side, and then one would go on the left side, then one would go on the right side.
Mm-hmm.
O'Leary was on the east side of the stadium, and A.C. Leonard, who's already committed to Florida, was on the west side.
Okay.
And they were running their routes back-to-back, so Meyer had a good look at them. And O'Leary's the number two tight end in the nation, according to Rivals, and Leonard's number six overall.
In the nation?
Yeah. Okay. So, Meyer was getting a good look at both of them. Leonard was looking good, too. He was being covered by Nick Wisom some of the time, and he looked good.
Yeah. I mean, he acted like he belonged at Florida, like he was already enrolled, practically, because he wasn't even wearing a standard Friday Night Lights jersey with a number. He just knew the coaches knew who he was. Just walked in there like he owned the place, and he really did a great job, too. He was quite impressive.
And he told me he was trying to recruit some other players, though he didn't name names. He was just like, yeah, man, y'all should come out to Florida. It's a good place.
That really seems to be the in vogue thing ever since Florida was able to keep their classes in shape last year during the whole Urban Meyer fiasco.
I know that, like, at UM, especially, Ja'Cory Harris, that class, when he came, he brought, like, basically the whole Northwestern team with him because he was like, oh, you should come with me, you should come with me. I mean, a lot of schools are doing that.
Trey Burton was doing the same thing, but, I mean, there's a difference between recruiting your high school teammates and then recruiting outside, prospects nationally. Yeah. And I think the USS is trying to get Driscoll to do the same thing with this year's class because he's going to be the leader of this team going forward.
And a surprise tight end that kind of got everybody's attention was Junior Pomé. He's out of Rancho Verde, California, which is where Ronald Powell went.
Ronald Powell, for those of you who don't know, is going to be the next defensive player to win the Heisman Trophy for 4 years.
Okay. Yeah. But Ronald Powell was the unquestionable star from last year's Friday Night Lights. And then to have one of his high school teammates kind of steal some of the attention, too, was kind of interesting.
From California, nonetheless.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Florida's really trying to build inroads out there. Because there are a lot of great prospects out there. They don't want to just concede that area to USC and so on.
Right. It's a very smart thing to do.
Yeah, think of the guys they got in just like the last year. They got Powell, Shaw, Chris Martin. Even though he spent his senior year in Colorado, he's from California, grew up there.
And they got him away from
Cal. Got him away from Cal. Mm-hmm. And they were good recruits, too. Martin's a 5-star recruit. Powell, obviously,
was the number one prospect in the nation.
Physical freak of nature.
He can play any position. He should play quarterback. John Brantley to the bench.
I don't need John Brantley. He'll be the backup instead of the punter.
He's a third-string quarterback. Well, I heard that there were a lot of, like you said, it was a big recruiting ploy, and there were a lot of video that they had for the recruits, and they had a meeting with all the recruits, pitching to them why UF is the place to be and all this stuff. Like, what kind of things they do? I find that kind of interesting, you know?
Yeah, they're putting stuff up on the video boards all the time.
There was a video showing how they were, the fastest team in the nation. They were showing Dempsey and Rainey.
That was the, hey, Mike Bellamy, you happen to be here. Come to UF instead of Clemson video because they made sure to show their track
highlights. Explain who Mike Bellamy is.
Okay, Mike Bellamy is one of the top running back recruits in the nation. Extremely fast, wants to play football and track.
Jeff Demps, basically?
Kind of idolizes Jeff Demps. I don't think he's quite as fast as Jeff Demps, but I don't think anyone's quite as fast as Jeff Demps, except maybe Chris Johnson and Usain Bolt.
I was going to say.
the kid's got, NCAA 99 speed.
Yeah, Stan Drayton spent a lot of the night trying to pitch UF to him, but so at the end of the night, he said he was 100%.
For a long time, he was considered to be almost a silent to UF, like he was going to come public with his commitment. But the Clemson coaches got in his ear and started pitching early playing time and so on. And they were able to sway him into commit to Clemson, which they're building quite the class up there. The question is, are they going to stick? Florida's counting on him not sticking there. They really want him. They've got a fullback committed, but they don't have any other running backs.
Hunter Joyer. Hunter Joyer's the fullback. Yeah. He was there last night. Friday night. He's the number one fullback in the nation, and
well, that's great because that'll make sure that they get the Rivals' number one class because, after all, what happened last year was last minute USC added the number one fullback and that pushed their class over the edge.
Yeah, the guy's huge, man. His arms, I heard he could bench press 410 pounds.
I mean, I'm pretty sure I know who you're talking about just from sight, and he looked, it was a sight to behold. I mean, some of these kids, you can tell the ones that are from the really big-time programs that are going to be the big-time prospects, they just dwarf some of the little kids.
Yeah.
But there was another. Who was the other running back that was there?
Mike Blakely.
Mike Blakely. He's also
huge.
Yeah, he was built. His arms looked like a bodybuilder.
If you guys don't know who Mike Blakely is, look at Tuesday's issue of The Alligator.
Also available at alligator.org.
Also, yes. Also online, you can see it. He's the one in the red shorts.
A picture taken by?
Me. By Harrison Diamond. I wasn't just there to watch, unfortunately.
But yeah.
Even though you were focusing on these guys' arms and how big they were.
No, look, I'm a scrawny little guy. I've got, like, the biceps of a four-year-old. I wish that I could have muscles like that. Get me so many more ladies. So many.
It's really not fair how these kids are 17, 16, 17, 18 years old. And
yeah, I mean.
They're jacked like that.
I mean, I couldn't bench press one time at, like, 50 pounds. I promise you.
Got it.
We need to guarantee right there.
We need to,
I cannot bench press.
We need to try this out, Harrison. We need to set on the date and have you bench press. And we're going to have a podcast going on at the same time, and we're going to witness it.
We'll post a video online,
too. It'll be embarrassing.
But, right. Yeah, Mike Blakely also impressed, and then at the end of the night, he said Florida was his top school. He said that coming into this season, if they run the ball, the running back gets the ball, he's here.
Yeah. I would say they probably need to get two backs in this class, because they've already lost some depth with Rainey moving to the slot.
James Wilder.
Oh.
He's more of a linebacker.
Yeah.
But he doesn't want to admit that.
Well, I mean, that's even if he ends up here. We'll
get back to James Wilder.
Moody's going to graduate. Dems, there's always the possibility he could go off and join the Olympic track team, because he does have that kind of speed.
Rainey's a wide receiver now, right?
Yeah, Rainey's a wide receiver. So they've lost one running back already.
You still got Mack Brown, though.
They're going to lose another. That leaves them with Demps for one more year, Gillislee for two more years after this year, and then Mack Brown, who's a true freshman this year, may redshirt, may not, depending on how this carry gets split.
Mm-hmm.
I would hope that they redshirt him. Because
yeah, they have enough options as it is that they shouldn't really need him.
Also,
as much.
He's coming off of a hamstring injury.
Mm-hmm.
And they probably want to give him time to rest up. They don't want to try and rush him back like the Bose kind of did. And we all know how that turned out last year.
Yeah. All right, can you give us some recruits to keep track of during this whole recruiting period?
I mean, ones that...
That stood out, you know, and that, you know, have UF on the radar?
Obviously Nick Wysom.
Mm-hmm.
Wysom, however you want to pronounce it. Four-star cornerback out of Groveland South Lake High,
okay.
Which is Jeff Demps' school.
He's impressive.
Yeah, he was locking people down. He'll be committing sometime in August, he said.
To Florida, hopefully.
Maybe. He sounded like he was leaning Florida, but there's other schools in
place.
I
would love to cover that guy. He looked like an impressive specimen.
That's weird.
Hey, you know, if
interesting
there's one,
choice of words.
I like covering future first-round draft picks. I've gotten my share of them so far, but I mean, it's nice to have pictures of these guys when they're just like college students, you know, their first.
I like how you could tell that they're future first-round draft picks in shorts and a sleeveless shirt.
Everyone looks like a first-round draft pick in shorts.
Exactly.
And contact
girls. Another one would be Kurt Midgett.
Yeah,
defensive end. I didn't
like the hairstyle.
I didn't get a good look at the linebackers and defensive ends as much as I did the wide receivers and cornerbacks and quarterbacks.
You're just too lazy to go to the other side of the stadium, weren't you?
I was all over the stadium, man.
I know.
But, like, during one-on-ones, I didn't get a good look at the linebackers and stuff.
I mean,
stuff.
It looked like
he
was doing a good job, but he was also spending a lot of time talking with Meyer.
Yeah, Meyer spent a lot of time talking to him in the corner of one of the end zones during position drills. I noticed that.
I mean, if Meyer's talking to you, you know that...
You're somebody.
Yeah, you're not just somebody. You are somebody.
Yeah.
What was his hairstyle? That's what I want to know.
Okay. So he's got dreads, I guess you would call them.
Yeah.
And he had them tied together in a mohawk.
Oh, yeah. That's
right?
That's
I guess that's
right?
How to describe it. It was very strange.
These days, you don't really see, like, unique hairstyles anymore. Like, everything's been done.
I mean,
but
you could tell him from across the stadium. Cause
it's pretty impressive.
It's like, hey, this is Kurt Midgett here. Look at those dreads.
Yeah.
How do you get the helmet over that?
He didn't.
They don't wear helmets. Oh,
I know, but I mean, how, you know, in general.
Well, he just lets them down.
No one can say for sure.
Lets the dreads down.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
We just don't have the
technology. Long hair, don't
tell.
Care.
Yeah.
There are a couple linebackers, right?
Yes. AJ Johnson, a four-star linebacker out of Gainesville, Georgia. He looked good. At first, he was a little shocked by the speed of some of the running backs he had to cover. So then he's like, well, I got to put in a little extra effort. Mm-hmm. So he turned on the burners and then looked good after that. At the end of the night, he put UF as his top choice.
And UF definitely needs some linebacker depth in this class because they're going to graduate a couple of important guys, including the current AJ Jones.
Another guy to look out for, even though he's only going to be a junior, is LaTroy Pittman. I'm sure you saw him. He was the one that started gator chomping after he broke away on a touchdown.
What position does he play?
He's a wide receiver.
Wide receiver.
He just shook one of the cornerbacks and got free across the middle, caught a nice pass, and then ran to the end zone and tossed Meyer the ball and started gator chomping. He got a little laugh out of that from Meyer. But
do you remember what number he was wearing?
I think it was like 105 or something like that, or 109.
Yeah. You see, the problem we have with Friday Night Lights is because it's dealing with like the eventual recruiting violations and so on, if they get out of hand, they can't give us a roster. So we have to recognize these guys by sight and then put a name to the number, essentially.
Yeah.
Based just, off of the face.
It's just like it's so chaotic from all the other recruiting writers out there. Like, trying to put names to faces, like, pulling up their phones, looking for images of the guys and be like, is that him, like, 20 yards away?
Looking up on his Facebook.
Fortunately, we have photographers like Harrison there. It's like, hey, get a picture of that guy. Let me see a close-up of his face. Made it a little bit easier.
I mean, it's like playing Where's Waldo if you don't know what a guy looks like. And especially in, like, the corners, there were so many of them packed so tightly. And then they would only be visible for a couple seconds when they'd break out of the pack to go on the drill.
Fortunately, some of them were dressed so that they stood out, like Deontay Pop Saunders. He was rocking a UF hat and some UF shorts, so like he was easy to point out from them. Kurt Majid, obviously, with his hair. Who else was there?
Nick O'Leary, because he was like enormous.
Yeah.
pretty much only junior, enormous white dude that wasn't clearly an offensive lineman.
Junior Pomé, because he looks like Troy Polamalu.
He has long hair.
Long hair, don't care.
Yeah.
But,
back he has it all at Head and Shoulders.
Does he endorse them?
No.
Not yet.
But, back to Pomé for a second. It was interesting, because he started off tonight doing drills with running backs, and then he was all over the place with the wide receivers and tight ends. So, I saw some places had him listed as an H-back. You know, he's versatile.
Can he throw? I mean, Florida seems to like H-backs at quarterback.
I did not see him throw, but he's currently committed to UCLA, even though he spoke really highly of Florida and, like, said he loved it here. Florida has not yet offered him.
That won't be long.
That depends.
If O'Leary commits elsewhere, it won't be long.
Yeah, he said that Meyer was going to call him Saturday, and he thought it was going to be with an offer. But I tried getting a hold of him, and I was unsuccessful, so I'm in the mind frame that either the call didn't go how he expected, or he's just trying to keep it on the down low right now.
Yeah.
But if O'Leary goes somewhere else, I wouldn't be surprised if he got offered and committed. I'm sure as soon as they offer him, he'll commit. Like, he said he's like best friends with Ronald Powell from when they were in high school. Like, they went everywhere together. And to play in college with him would be fun, too, he said.
Well, of course, it's always fun to play with a legend.
Okay. Right. You're anointing him a legend, and he hasn't played a down yet in a Gator uniform.
Well, I mean, they did that with Tim Tebow, and it worked out pretty well.
I guess. That's true.
Yeah.
I'm hedging my bets.
I can't argue that, but there's been so many other ones.
I want to be on the bandwagon before the bandwagon starts, so I'm not accused of being a bandwagon
fan. That's fine.
But the thing is, Florida's got a lot of tight ends, when you think about it.
Well, I mean, if wide receivers keep getting DUIs, then you're going to have to throw them.
Yeah, I guess.
It's a great, great reasoning. You were talking about James Wilder. He's obviously like one of the top recruits in the state.
Let's get into him in that one drama. Minute.
Okay.
One other player that stood out to me was one of the quarterbacks. I'm sure you saw him. Kevin Sousa. He's a Michigan commitment. Only a 3-star quarterback out of Orlando. He's a dual threat, though.
All the way to Michigan? Wow.
Yeah.
Because he's a dual threat. Yeah, yeah. They want to run that. Yeah.
Rodriguez.
Spread attack up there.
Well, how long is Richrod going to be there?
Depends on this year. How well they do.
I mean, I don't know why he would necessarily be going to Michigan, because they're pretty stacked at quarterback. They've got two true sophomores. They've got a true freshman coming in this year that's one of the more talented quarterbacks in this past year's class.
Well, those sophomores will be juniors when this guy gets there.
Well, yeah, but then
and
he's
then
got...
And then redshirt a year.
Yeah, but consider that the guy that came in this year is probably more highly talented prospect than either Denard Robinson or Tate Forcey, the two quarterbacks that are already there, is going to be theoretically in contention for the starting job now as a true freshman. He could end up playing 3-4 years at quarterback there, leaving this guy with at most a 2-year window.
I don't know, Harrison. I'm just telling you, he's committed to Michigan. I don't know why. He looked good at Friday Night Lights. He threw some good balls.
He could
get
swayed.
Is he a big guy? Is he like you said? He was dual threat. Is he a big quarterback?
He's 6'2", 215.
It's pretty big for him. It's good size.
Once you get him in the college weight program,
he'll be up to 230, yeah, probably.
Good.
But yeah, he showed some good footwork too. Yeah. That's about it for the guys that really.
There was another
stood
one
out
that stood out to me, Pike.
Oh, the.
He is.
Where's he from again?
I can't remember where he's from. I can't remember his first name either.
I want
to
say
he's not related to Tony Pike.
I want to say it was Kentucky or something like that.
Yeah, he's from Kentucky. I can't remember his father's name either. But his father played in the NFL as a quarterback. He's unrelated to Tony Pike, but he was looking pretty good.
Is he a quarterback?
Yes.
Okay.
There were actually a couple of really impressive quarterbacks. There were three or four that I would say looked like really good Division I.
Yeah, it was kind of hard to tell like the quarterbacks apart because they were just like standing in a little group compared to like the wide receivers and the cornerbacks. Like they're actually running routes. You could see them separate from everybody else. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I did see some good balls thrown.
Yeah, there was some with some really nice touch. There was one that was thrown just beautiful, beautiful, beautiful one to the corner of the end zone. The receiver, it might have been... No, it wasn't. Sorry, I thought it was one of the prospects we'd already discussed, but it wasn't. But the receiver caught it, bobbled it, the defensive back, like, almost got it, and then like the receiver caught it with one hand over the head of the defensive back. It was beautiful.
Pretty nice. Sports Center top 10.
It was made for some good pictures.
It did.
All right, let's talk about the guy that the most talked about recruit probably, but yes. He wasn't even in Friday Night Lights.
Yes.
Drama abounds here.
There were a few people that disappointed, it's not because they didn't do well. It's because they either didn't show up or didn't participate.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously the number one guy there would be James Wilder Jr., running back / outside linebacker / defensive end.
/ cornerback / safety.
/ all-world athlete from Tampa's Plant High. And
number two recruit in the state?
Number two recruit in the state behind Tony Seward.
Number three in the nation, you said?
Yes, number three overall recruit in the nation per Rivals. It varies depending on which site you want to look at. But he was expected at Friday Night Lights, but never showed because he was visiting FSU on
dun,
Friday.
Dun, dun.
And he got held up there, I guess you could call it. I don't know if he extended the visit himself. Or
held
the,
up? It was Nigel Carr.
Or if the coaches, you know, tried to...
I like that. It's in there. Keep going.
Or if the coaches tried to procrastinate and just prevent him from getting down to UF. But
that's equally possible.
Yeah. But he was the talk of the night, even though he wasn't there.
There have been some rumors that he is going to announce his decision this week, but some people say that's not true.
Apparently that is not true. He plans on announcing either before the season or in the middle of the season. He doesn't even know when he's going to announce it. He's going to announce when he feels it's right.
Right.
Like when he's gotten a chance to officially visit all the schools he's wanted to. And
smart.
I mean, one rumor I've heard, which may have absolutely no credibility, of course, is that UF wanted him to commit, but had problems with him taking visits or something like that. Like Florida is a little bit tired of people decommitting to them.
So they want, once you commit, they don't
once
want to take
you commit,
any
they don't
visits.
Want you taking visits, at least at certain positions, so they can make sure they have all their ducks in a row as far as who they're going to get, especially with this class probably being a little bit smaller than last year's class.
Is that the Matt Elam rule?
I think it's probably the new Keese Richardson rule.
Okay.
More than anything, but they don't like decommits. They want you to be in the fold because there's a lot of good athletes who want to come to Florida. It's one of the places to be.
Well, they don't want decommits, then don't take commitments from kids until signing day.
Yeah.
Because none of this means anything until they sign their name on the dotted line.
Well, if they don't take commits till signing day, then what if they don't get anyone that they think they're going to get and they end up with a bunch of two stars?
It's a trade-off you have to live with in college football. Double-edged sword. What are you going to do?
So, we'll see what happens with this. It could end up being nothing. He could end up committing to Florida like people thought he would.
The thing with Wilder, he's a great linebacker. He's a great running back in high school. He wants to play on offense, but he's probably better at linebacker.
Yeah. Florida can always promise him both and then only do one.
Yeah, exactly. Someone's going to trick him into convincing him he'll be able to play running back in the I formation or something like that. And he gets there. Yeah, on second thought, we're going to use you on defense because we need you there more.
As you all know, I'm very knowledgeable in recruiting. So later on in the show, at the end, I'm going to tell you where James Wilder Jr. is going. So stay tuned for that. I'm going to tell you.
Harrison. Yeah, for those of you that haven't already tuned out. If you stick around a little longer, you'll
get... I tuned out a good 30 minutes ago.
After the agent talk.
Yeah. Now, my personal favorite recruit from Friday Night Lights was a linebacker whose name I do not know. He was wearing number 333, and he was really playing his heart out, making some really great saves on passes. And
because Harrison loves scrappy white guys.
Well, yeah, they're gritty. He doesn't wow you with his speed, but he sure played his heart out there, you know? I mean,
yeah.
I don't know, he'll probably go to Penn State.
He played his heart out.
Or something like that.
Other notable people who missed out on the camp, Timmy Jernigan, defensive lineman. He didn't show up because he was competing in a 7-on-7 tournament in Hoover, Alabama. But back in February, after National Signing Day, he said that if he were to sign his name on a letter of intent, it would be Florida. So they're leaders on that. At least back in February they were. Trip Thurman, the kid that committed on Friday, he was in attendance, but he was not competing. He was just kicking it with the coaches and stuff.
He already committed, so there's no need for him to be there.
Jeff Driscoll, the number one quarterback in the nation in this upcoming class, according to ESPN. Just got his fifth star there. He was busy competing at the Elite 11 quarterback camp where he won MVP and was considered like the second coming of Jake Locker. Yeah. Unbelievable. It's going to be great, obviously. You heard it here first.
Another first round pick?
Number one overall.
Well, I mean, they're saying that he's a Jake Locker clone, so I mean,
number one. That's it. Heard it here first. Number one overall pick in the 2014 NFL draft.
He's going to stay out 4 years. He's one of those guys.
Okay, all right.
And one other thing of note from Friday Night Lights, Jeffrey Pagan, four-star defensive lineman, said, who was wavering on his commitment to Florida, reaffirmed that, said that he's not going to take any visits anywhere else out of respect for Meyer.
You see? Told you.
And maybe your sources are correct, Harrison.
My sources are impeccable.
but he said that Florida's defensive line will go down as one of the greatest in school history. And real quick, I know Chang wanted to know where I thought all these guys would end up, right? So let's just run through them real quick. Nick O'Leary, I think he either ends up at FSU or Georgia. Harrison, where do you think O'Leary ends up?
FSU.
Okay.
Because Georgia's got some young tight ends.
I think UM's still in the hunt, too.
I haven't been hearing as much about UM. I heard more about them earlier in his recruitment, but it's been more FSU, Georgia.
All right. AC Leonard already committed to UF. Does he stay committed?
Absolutely.
I agree. Junior Pomé. He's currently committed to UCLA.
Well, since Florida's not getting O'Leary, I would say he makes a trip over here to be with his buddy. He tries to trip for putting around Powell.
Yeah, if Florida offers, he's coming to Florida. If they don't offer, he's staying to UCLA.
Maybe he'll still come to Florida.
Mike Blakely.
Florida.
Yeah. He pretty much said he's here as long as they run the ball. Halfback dive.
I mean, as long as Steve Adagio is here, you know what's going to happen.
Mike Bellamy.
Florida.
What position does he play again?
Running back. Okay. He's said he's 100% on Clemson. I'm going to take his word for that now. But that doesn't mean that Florida's not going to stop. That Florida's not going to stop pursuing him.
Okay.
I mean,
they're going to be pushing hard for him.
Clemson
that kid is ridiculous.
Like 8-4, something like that.
Maybe he could see himself as the next CJ Spiller.
They had CJ Spiller for 4 years. Didn't win the ACC. Didn't make a BCS bowl. They had CJ Spiller and Jacoby Ford, one of the fastest wide receivers in the country. Actually, probably the fastest wide receiver.
Maybe he doesn't care about winning titles. Maybe he just wants to rack up the stats and get that big fat paycheck.
Get drafted by the Bills, you mean?
Yep.
Oh, God. I mean, I already consider CJ Spiller's career over before it started. I mean, the poor guy.
All right, on to the defensive backs. Pop Saunders, did he stay committed to UF?
Yeah.
Same.
He's rocking the gear.
Yeah, he was rocking the gear. He reaffirmed his commitment afterwards. Nick Wisom.
Florida.
UF or FSU, he sounded like he was leaning more towards Florida, so I'm going to go with that. Even though he was visiting FSU on Thursday for camp. Defensive line, Kurt Magid.
I don't know who else he's been linked with, but, I mean, he seemed pretty chummy with Meyer, so...
Afterwards, he said he slightly favors UF.
That's code for he probably sounded committed right there.
We'll see. AJ Johnson?
Who else has been recruiting him? I don't know. Whatever. I mean, look what happened. You had Brandon Seiler followed by Brandon Spike, so I guess AJ Jones can be followed by AJ Johnson, so I'm going to say Florida.
I'm cool.
Hopeful for Florida with this Friday Night Lights thing. It seemed to be pretty successful.
All right, Harrison's favorite white boy. Number 333.
I don't know. I'm gonna say Minnesota or something like that. it becomes a 3-time All American, gets drafted in the second round, goes on to be an All Pro or something like that.
I'll go with Wisconsin.
Good choice.
Both good choices.
LaTroy Pittman, even though he's a junior.
I don't know. It was far out.
It's early, but he was gator chomping. He was laughing it up with Meyer. He doesn't want to commit yet, but he seems to be sold on UF. Timmy Jernigan.
I couldn't tell you.
All right, and everybody's favorite, James Lawther Jr.
I'm saving mine for Gator Guarantees. I told you guys. I'm teasing it.
I mean, I'm hoping that Meyer is able to keep everything under control with this situation, but with the amount of time he spent at FSU, I'm not going to rule them out at this point.
Yeah, that remains to be seen. I think it's either going to be UF or FSU, I think. And
he's going to surprise
him missing Friday night.
Everyone, and on signing day, he's going to commit to Washington State.
No, he's going to commit to Miami. He's going to take his talents to South Beach.
Like everyone else.
In his one-hour special.
Yeah. But I'd say either UF or FSU. Honestly, if he wants to play running back, he shouldn't go to either of those. He should go somewhere else. Because he projects better as a linebacker. But people want him to play linebacker, but he wants to play running back. Someone's going to offer him a chance to play running back, though.
Alabama's going to offer him a position at running back. Say, hey, you know, we're going to lose Mark Ingram after this year, Trent Richards after next year. So you can come in here, win the Heisman Trophy as a running back. Then they'll just move him to linebacker, and he'll go in the first round as a linebacker. I mean, everyone should go to Alabama, clearly.
The thing about him playing linebacker, he's 6'2", like 220 already. And then when he gets to college, he'll put on more weight and muscle.
Alabama likes big linebackers. Yeah, wasn't Rolando McLean like 250? And he has like part of his intestines are screwed up. Right? He's got like Crohn's disease.
And that wraps up our Friday Night Lights recap and recruiting extravaganza.
That took almost as long as the actual Friday Night Lights.
Not nearly as long.
I was there for 6 hours. Come on.
Me too. That thing took forever.
Yeah, it did. Anyways, we're gonna move on to our Gator Guarantees. First, let's revisit some of the last ones we made, which were when Adam was on the show as a special guest. Harrison's best friend, even though he won't admit it anymore.
Adam Berry and I are no longer on speaking terms.
Speaking of Adam, I know this is off topic, but I'm really jealous of him. He got to cover 2 no-hitters during his internship this summer with MLB.com, and he got to interview Vanilla Ice and Nelly.
It doesn't get any better than that.
Wait, and he covered the Marlins for 1 weekend.
That's great.
He's, and got to meet Mike Stanton.
He's living it up. See, he benefited from leaving you, Harrison. He's just better like off. He's does. Better off for it. And he will tell you to your face.
Well, you know what? He can tell it to the back of my head because the front of my head is not going to be facing him.
No, you love him.
All right. Anyways, moving on to our last Gator guarantees. Let's start with you, Chang. Your guarantee was pretty epic.
Lay it on me.
First, you guaranteed that UF will win the College World Series. Which they didn't.
Right. They're the first team eliminated.
Then you guaranteed that Panagiotis, in his championship series start, would go 6 innings. Then you said that Hudson Randall would go 6.2 innings in game 2.
Okay.
Or that they would lose one of those games. And that it would go to a third game.
I was right on one. You lost one. They did lose one game.
No, but this was in the championship series.
Oh, okay.
Which they didn't even make it to.
Okay.
And then you guaranteed that in the third game, they would win, and Brian Johnson would go 7 innings and hit a home run.
Yeah.
What do you have to say for yourself?
I really have nothing to say other than I failed. You know, what can I say? I was wrong. Happens. What are you going to do? I went all the way to Omaha for
2 days. Are you sure you covered this team?
You took the Tom Green
curse
with you.
This team was totally different in Omaha than... than they were the rest of the season. Like their inexperience was evident.
When you made
for the first time all season.
When you made that guarantee, we joked that it could actually happen because you don't have the jinx that I have.
Yeah, because I was right the other time. Remember, I said that.
Yeah, but,
LSU
but apparently the jinx like wore off onto you.
Yeah, man.
Because they were the first team eliminated.
Better watch out. It's contagious.
They were the second highest ranked team heading into the College World Series, but they were the first one to pack their bags and go home.
Yeah.
They didn't even have time to unpack their bags.
What are you going
to
do? It happens. It happens.
All right. Okay, next year.
Next year, exactly.
Moving on to Harrison's, it still remains to be seen because Harrison loves to set his Gator guarantees way into the future.
I'm never wrong.
So that we forget about them and
can But if they are them. Right, then he looks like a genius and he mentions them.
I will be right when Mike Pouncey's rolling eligible for the season.
Okay.
All right. Harrison's guarantee was that UF will go 13-1 this football season. The one loss will be to Alabama in Tuscaloosa. However, they will win the rematch in the SEC championship game. And they will win with a last-minute game-winning drive that takes less than a minute. And the touchdown on that game-winning drive will result from Deontay Thompson streaking down the field wide open. John Brantley bombs it to him. He drops it. And the pass falls into the hands of... Do you remember who, Harrison?
He doesn't even remember.
I believe it was Lawrence.
T.J. Lawrence?
No. Yes, it was T.J. Lawrence.
It
you
was
said.
Not T.J.
You said
You said T.J. Lawrence, and then we said more likely Chris Rainey since he'll be playing in the slot and he's that fast.
There's no way I would have said T.J. Lawrence.
I guarantee you said T.J. Lawrence.
Probably Stephen Ellie.
No, you said T.J. Lawrence. I guarantee you that you said T.J. Lawrence.
Maybe I did in fact say T.J. Lawrence.
You have to stick to that, Harrison. Sure. You have to stick
to your guns.
Well, actually, you know what? It probably was T.J. Lawrence because that's about as unlikely as it gets. No, Frankie Hammond.
Yeah, because you said
who
Frankie
will
Hammond
walk back on.
You said because T.J. Lawrence would replace Frankie Hammond
as the ninth receiver.
And then Harrison took it one step further and said that when UF wins this hypothetical national championship that he has them winning after going 13-1. They'll beat Boise State in Glendale. And Harrison will rub it into Adam's face because Adam wasn't there for it.
Yeah.
He will go to the camera. Didn't you say you would go to the camera and say something to Adam? Didn't you say that? Like when they won, when you're on the field, you'll go to the camera, get the trophy, and say something to Adam. You said that.
I think that the starting
point. I'm pretty sure he said that too.
He did. No, he did say that.
I won't get to guarantee it, but I will.
Adam was here too when he said that.
I will concur that he said something to that extent. Might not be word for word what he said.
Heat of the moment, I may have said something. I did not mean because of my hatred for Adam Barry, but it doesn't matter. I'm booking my tickets to Glendale.
Okay, Harrison. Right. We'll see.
Doubt me now. All right. You guys are on the way.
We always doubt you, Harrison.
All right.
And lastly,
my Gator guarantee from last time. This was right after Frankie Hammond got arrested for DUI. I said that that arrest will not be the last one for UF this summer, seeing as how they average about 5 per year.
Mm-hmm.
Summer's not quite over yet.
Still have a chance, but right now,
Summer in terms of seasons or summer in terms of...
I was about to bring that up. I was going to say by the beginning of...
Fall semester?
I don't want to say fall semester. I'll say by the time they report for camp.
August 5th?
Well, they report August 4th, but they start August 5th.
Sorry, August 5th.
We'll put it on August 5th.
Okay.
All right. You got yourself a week. All
right. I like the pressure. What can I say?
I know you do.
All right, so moving on to this week's Gator Guarantees. Chang, let's get a drum roll for your Gator Guarantee about James Wilder.
All right. Wilder does not have to make a decision anymore. I'm telling you what his choice is. He is going to go to FSU, and here's why. Because he apparently wants to play running back, not linebacker. He's a How big is he, Tom? What's his size?
6'2"? 6'2", 220.
Okay. And Florida's offense, as everyone has seen with Emmanuel Moody, those types of running backs don't get the chance to play. So he's going to go to FSU, have the chance to play there, become a good running back, and another thing that made me...
And win the Heisman instead of Christian Ponder.
Yes. Another thing that confirmed it to me was the fact that he did not show up for Friday Night Lights. I mean, like, if you really want to come to Florida, I know he's visiting,
he's visited Florida about a dozen times already.
I know, but this is their camp. Like you said, there's a big recruiting day for Florida. Like, if you really, really want to come to Florida, let's say, like, you really like a girl, right? And this girl asks you on a date. Are you going to stand her up if you really like her? No. Well, you're going to do everything you can to be there.
Because everyone knows that guys that are really nice always finish last. So what he's doing is playing hard to get.
So he's doing reverse psychology.
Yeah, he's playing hard to get so that Meyer will come after him more. That's what girls do when they want attention.
If a recruit wasn't at Friday Night Lights, he will not commit to Florida.
No, I'm saying that... No, I'm not saying
that. That's what it sounds like.
I'm saying that he was really... Like, they want him to come very bad. Isn't this what you said? Like, they were urging him to come. Like, they really, really want him to come. And he said he was going to come. He planned on coming. The last minute, he said no. Okay. That's what I'm saying. Like, you don't...
I feel like you're approaching this from the wrong perspective. You're approaching this from the perspective that he's the guy trying to get the girl. But we know that he's of the caliber.
No, I'm saying the girl's trying to get the guy. And the guy, he said, oh yeah, I'm going to go on a date with you. But if you really, really liked her, he would have showed up for the date.
Or, alternate theory, he's pulling the D-Wade and doing some reconnaissance.
Yeah.
Just taking up other schools'
time. So when Nick O'Leary goes to announce his decision for FSU on ESPNU in the Decision 3, he's going to take his talents... to Lake Wahlberg.
Lake Wahlberg?
Is that the best you come up with? Well, I mean, not very many other bodies of water around.
Lake Alice.
Lake Alice. Bivens Arm. Payne Prairie.
All right, that's my Gator Guarantee. That's my Gator Guarantee. What's yours, Harrison?
Oh, okay, I've got two. One is that all of UF's first round and second round draftees are going to report to training camp on time.
And when is that?
Well, it depends for each team. But they're all going to be there on time for the start of training camp. Now, I'm being very...
NFL training camp, you're saying.
NFL training camp. Yeah. Now, I'm being very specific here at the start of training camp. Rookies have to report a little earlier. And Joe Hayden of the Browns... very high pick.
Who apparently can't do anything anymore.
Yeah, because he's garbage, because he's way too slow. I mean, I definitely never saw him just completely shut down basically every receiver he went up against, ever. Well, in the last 2 years. I mean, even as a true freshman playing corner for the first time, he did so well. He's going to be just fine, thank you very much. People are just blowing it out of proportion because he's a very physical corner and all the mini-camp practices are not in pads. I mean, what do you expect? He's... gonna shut people down just fine.
And the other part of your Gator Guarantee.
But he's gonna report on time for regular training camp. Won't be there with the rookies at the start of things, because the Browns are starting a little bit earlier than most teams. Whatever. The other part is USC recently had their athletic director, Mike Garrett, resign That's code for he was fired because he let that whole the whole Reggie Bush thing happen under his watch, and then went off and hired Lane Kiffin. That has resulted in the hiring of Pat Hayden, another former USC player, who is going to be supposedly running a very clean ship, and has hired a new assistant athletic director, essentially to watch over Lane Kiffin and keep him from sending the program into the death penalty box.
I heard somewhere that if he had the choice to hire Lane Kiffin, he wouldn't have hired him.
Well, I think that anyone with a brain would have hired Lane Kiffin, especially has with anybody, sanctions looming over
has
them.
Has anybody done less to earn two high-profile coaching jobs than Lane Kiffin?
Nope. No. I mean, my guarantee is that Lane Kiffin is out at USC within 2 years. Hmm. 2 years.
Another long
distance.
While they are still under...
I like that one, though.
Their sanctions.
I like
he's
that.
Going
even
to
though,
be gone.
Even though we might not be around to approve this guarantee.
But it's probably true. I don't doubt it.
In fact, it would not surprise me if after this year he's gone. Especially if...
He will be gone in 2 years because the world's going to end in 2012 anyway.
That's true. Here's what we have to look at. I think that USC, despite the amount of talent they've got coming back, is going to have a very down year again this year. Even worse than last year, because these players are going to have nothing to play for. I don't feel Lane Kiffin's enough of a motivator to get them up for, hey, you know, we can't be ranked, but let's show them that we're good anyway.
We can't lose to Stanford again.
He doesn't have the motivational skills or the credibility with the players. He just doesn't have that. And so I think they're going to fall flat on their face this year, and that's just going to lead the way for a bunch of high-profile decommits. We're all going to come to Florida in the largest recruiting class of all time. Florida's going to actually cut several seniors.
Wow.
Just to make room.
All right. And then my Gator guarantee, we touched on it a little bit earlier when we were talking about agents and all the sanctions and everything. The Football Writers Association may award Auburn the 2004 title. I guarantee that by the time the season kicks off at the beginning of September, that Auburn will be named the 2004 national champion.
The AP national champion.
AP national champion. Because
well, the AP already said they're not going to change the national championship.
Not the AP, the Football Writers Association.
Yeah. Stop
putting
words.
You told me
it
was AP.
No,
really?
I didn't.
No, he didn't. He said that to me.
Why would I say such a thing, Jay?
You're right. You're right,
I do
Tom.
Not get information wrong.
You're right, Tom.
All right, I'm going to make yet another guarantee right here.
No, we're cutting you off, Harrison.
No.
You've had enough.
This is a much shorter term.
You're drunk on power because we've
much,
had you on the show too many times.
Much short, much shorter term. Reggie Bush will have to return his copy of his Heisman. The Heisman Trophy Trust will strip him of it.
By when?
By September 15th.
Okay.
All
right. That's good. I'd be willing to bet before the start of the season.
You're on.
So the first week of September, basically.
Yeah. Same time that Auburn will be named the title. It'll be a double whammy for USC that week.
They'll happen one day after another, or even within hours of each other.
I can see.
Maybe they'll even coordinate the announcements together at like the whatever the theater's called now. It used to be the Nokia Theater. Maybe they changed the name a couple times.
Where I'm from, we call that a double whammy.
Where I come from, I call it funny.
All right. Anyways, that wraps up our show for today. Thanks for listening. If you have any feedback, please send it to podcast@alligator.org, and we'll see you next time.
Madden sucks.
End the show, Barry!